Ken and Capital.
Capital. All right, welcome back to the Ken and Capital podcast. We are your hosts, Christian, Mike, Chris, and Alexis. Today, we're piggybacking a little bit off of our last video where we were talking about confidence. But today, it's a little bit more specific to the opportunities that you gain and miss if you have or lack confidence. We also are going to discuss a little bit about how to discover the signs that you're lacking confidence. I know Alexis said he had a few things on it, and we kind of discussed this a little bit off camera, but I want to just open up the discussion panel and just talk about it a little bit. What are y'all thoughts on this?
Well, definitely some opportunities with lacking confidence, so having doubt, definitely some missed opportunities were like investment opportunities. I think when it comes to investing, we hear we have to give away money. And immediately it's doubt.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Immediately,
yeah. Right? So.
That's still me.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that's kind of helped me back from some great prospects. Good friends of mine have gone on to be super successful with things that they were trying to bring me in. And they're like, hey, we just need a little bit. They're not asking for the whole pension or anything like that. And, yeah, definitely missed some opportunities. Just
that's kind of like the fear of failure. We talked about that a little bit too. I've definitely done that same thing too. And you're like, dang, if I'd have started when he started, you know what I'm saying? I'd be in a different position. But like you said, over evaluating how something's gonna go before you actually start it can a lot of times either stop you from doing it or impede your performance while you're doing it. And that shows. You know, I know in sales it shows a lot. If you know a lot of people. They don't want to see you fumbling over your words and trying to figure things out while you're talking to them. You got to come knowing your stuff a little bit. So I definitely think you miss opportunities when it comes to landing deals. You miss opportunities when like things that people present to you.
Promotions,
jobs,
networking opportunities. Yeah, that's a big one for me. Like even to this day, I'm getting better, but you know, when you don't have the confidence to get in the room with individuals, like-minded individuals and just, ask them, hey, what's your name? You know, what do you do? That's a whole skill in itself, and you need a certain level of confidence in order to enter a room like that, right? But you, because of that, doubt comes in. You're like, I'm just not going to go because I don't know how to do that. I don't want to be in that space. But what you do is you miss out on potential opportunities to meet somebody that can help you out with maybe an idea that you got.
Right.
Or maybe you're struggling with something at your current job and they'll be like, oh, man, we're in the same field. Yeah. What do you need help with?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you're like not happy where you're at, you may come across somebody that's like, well, we're looking for somebody with your talent and expertise.
Yeah.
Right.
Holler at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think networking opportunities is a really big one when it comes to things that you can miss out on when you don't have that confidence and allow doubt to kind of just step in and control your what you're thinking. So.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah, that actually reminds me of a really big job I missed out on because I wasn't confident. It was a new nursing school that was opening up, and this is maybe like three or four years ago, actually. And I had opportunity to hop on the call with the person in charge of the project, and they needed a lot of training modules to teach students pretty much how to do nursing stuff, I guess. I don't know. But their budget was like $75,000 to $80,000. And that was the biggest job I had ever come across. Yeah. And I was like, damn, you know your stuff. You know exactly what you want. You know your budget. Things I wish my clients knew now. But at the time, I just wasn't. It was a lot. Yeah. And I didn't have the network or I felt like I didn't have the network. Felt like I didn't have the equipment. I felt like I couldn't ask for help. Mm, and ultimately, it
slipped through your hands.
It did. It hurts so much.
I think one thing we have to realize is that we don't give ourselves enough grace and we don't give ourselves enough, what am I trying to say? We know more than what we put off.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that fear, we let that fear take over because it's the fear of the unknown, right? It's that doubt, can I actually do it? But we got to give ourselves some credit.
Yeah.
You know, you're in certain positions. You're an entrepreneur because you took a chance on yourself. You were like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And even in that situation where it's like, man, I don't know if I could take this on. Do I have the right equipment? Give yourself some credit. Yeah, I can do this. Let's try. Let's see what we're going to do. Because you never know. That opportunity might have opened some other opportunities. They might have been like, you could have been like, hey, well, I don't have the equipment now, but, you know, I'm working to get up. I was like, oh, well, we can help you. We got a whole fund you can tap into. Yeah. You know what I mean? True. You just don't know.
I could have rented, borrowed from somebody, something. Oh, and also, I should mention this. At the time, I was working part-time somewhere, too. So it was kind of like, dang, I'm working here, and I'm trying to work somewhere else. This is before Entrepreneur Me kind of took off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was still kind of like in the clock in mindset.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, if I can't do this whole job, and I just can't. I didn't want to fail.
Yeah.
But I probably should have. I would have learned so much. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, talked yourself out of it a little bit. Yeah. That kind of goes into, like, I had another bullet point on here talking about negative self-talk, where you were talking about giving yourself grace and talking yourself out of stuff, not giving yourself credit. That's a big one too, is you might be a professional at something, but that imposter syndrome kicks in and you start doubting yourself, and you, like, literally, I don't know, but I have a lot of zombie moments during my day. I was like, how did I get here? Why am I doing this? But that kind of goes into, like, you know, comparing yourself to other people too. Like, confidence looks different depending on who you are. Everybody's different. Because sometimes even now, like, I feel like I'm decently confident, but you might see some people, like extroverts, for instance, they're louder, they project their voices more, maybe they draw more people in a little bit easier, but that don't mean that you're not confident because you're not exactly like them. Because you might never be like them 100%, but confidence is just the act of
doing it
anyway, you know?
Yeah. And that's how, when you talk about those extroverts, they do it.
Yeah.
That's why they sound confident. That's why they're louder. That's why they draw an audience, because they consistently put themselves in those positions, give themselves those opportunities to where they can be in a crowd of people like that.
Yeah.
Because they do it all the time.
Yeah.
So that's why they have that high confidence, because they've been in those situations before. They talk the talk and they know how to walk the walk.
Yeah.
I got a quick question.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of interesting identifying who's an extrovert and who's an introvert. Because sometimes we don't really truly know.
Yeah.
Because some things are just surface and you don't really know that person. So I'll start with you, Dion. Would you say Juan, before this podcast, was an introvert or extrovert?
You said him?
Yeah, yeah. Chris, sorry.
From my perspective, I thought you were an extrovert.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
100%. Yeah.
Well, and I think I know why. Because we'll say, like, when we were in our 20s, bro, you were always going to parties. You were always going somewhere downtown. When we would meet you at one of those spots, you'd be, man, it'd be a bunch of people. They're all calling out, Chris.
You've got to be a mix.
Right?
I'm an ambivert. I'm like in the middle.
Yeah. I always, and then when we get around you, right, family settings or whatever, just talking, like, you're not reserved at all. And so I was like, hearing you on the podcast, I'm like,
another side of you.
Okay. He doesn't show the introvert side because like we talked, you don't really show your emotions like that.
Yeah.
Okay, what would you say about Alexis then?
Same. You're a dancer. You ain't got no problem dancing in front of people.
That is so true.
Drawing crowds, doing stuff like that. You have no problem with that. Like, I know you say you're an ambivert. I'm like, there ain't no introvert in you.
But let me tell you this, though. Now, remember how Juan was talking about those networking events?
Yeah.
I can go dance in front of thousands of people. I won't fucking see them because I'm doing my thing. True. It's not about them. It's about me.
Yeah.
Put me in one of those networking events.
Yeah.
The voice.
You're outside your comfort. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was going to ask him, like, okay, how are you an introvert?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'd be like, aren't they supposed to talk to you?
Yeah,
no, it works both ways.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
But I think we're touching on something here. So, like, you both used Alexis and myself as examples of, like, we thought you both were extroverts. In certain situations, yes.
Yeah.
In situations where we have to sell ourselves or... you know, we're put in a situation we got to present something that at work or something like that. And maybe we know our stuff, but at the same time, you're presenting, you're hoping that it lands to the individual you're presenting to.
Yeah.
Right. It's just that level of fear. But like dancing, for instance, Alexis know how to dance.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I got that all day. To hell.
Now, you know what I'm saying? And to that point, He knows that, right? Yeah. He has confidence in it. When he goes in front of people, it's not a thing. Exactly. He's like, this is what I do.
Exactly. So what was it like the first time you danced in front of a crowd then? I can ask that.
That is a good question.
Nerve-wracking, honestly. There you go. And you just kind of, I wish I had advice for you there. I just depended on my steps. Back, yeah. When I first started, I had choreography, so I had set moves. And I was like, just do the damn moves.
Yeah.
It's fine. Do the damn moves. And it's like little bitty things when you're performing, like keeping your face up, looking at the crowd, and Disney smile. Like little things like that. Yeah. So I put my head down. I used to dance like this a lot. I'm like, look up, nigga. Look up. Yeah. Go, all right. Yeah. All right, come here. I'm down again. Look up. Don't look at the feet. Like little things like that. Just more internal talk. But
where did you learn those specific things, though? Like the Disney smile and stuff like that. Was that during the choreography you guys were like making sure each one of you are doing those things?
More so my mentor, King David Orr.
Yeah,
you know, I'd be dancing and stuff like that. And he would criticize the shit out of us back in the day. Yeah, man, that was dope. I would know without a doubt that I killed that choreo, and he would just tear me down.
Yeah.
Flames. Yeah, you're looking down the whole time, bro. When you hit this move, you hit it too soft, and it was just real. Yeah. I needed that.
So I think it's important. While we're bringing up all these things, like, though we shy away from criticism, you need that, right? You need to have people around you as well, because you might build the confidence in the wrong way.
Right.
Where you're thinking you're doing everything great because you were thinking that until he started tearing you down. And had he not been there, you would have just kept going through that mindset and doing that and doing that. And eventually you probably would have, you know, evolved from there. Yeah. But yeah,
having somebody to guide you along the way, because bad practices still don't get you to where you need to go.
he used to say, even after you hit all the criteria for him, he'd say, "All right, now do it again to make sure it wasn't an accident."
Yeah. Ooh.
And I was like, "Can you just be happy, King?"
That's crazy.
Shout out to King.
Wow,
that's crazy.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is a good one. But yeah, I think we touched on it. I think a lot of it's really situational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, about myself, for instance, like I'm around people I know who are out having a good time, having a cigar, drinking some bourbon. That's my element. So I'm comfortable in them. I'm comfortable in those, in that element. Right. Yeah. But you put me into a networking event.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't, it's like, I don't know what to do. It's funny. I was at one a couple of weeks ago. I think I mentioned to you, and I was talking to a young lady about, you know, IT stuff, and she was asking me questions. Dude, I was sweating. I felt the beads coming up on my forehead. Yes. It was so weird, but it's just like, she's, you know, asking questions, making eye contact with me. And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is real. This is happening. All right. So I had to come back with the answers and things like that. But what I've learned too, a friend of mine told me, he was like, man, networking is a skill, but honestly, all you really got to do is ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask questions. That way they do the talking and you just listen.
Yeah, exactly. That's a sales thing too.
Yeah.
So in sales, they always say introverts are better salesmen because we are quiet and we let the other person talk a lot more. We do a lot more listening. So that's definitely important too. And it kind of gets you in a state of not looking to rebuttal. You're actually listening. Like, you have to stop thinking, okay, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? Like, you're actually stay focused and engaged in the conversation and listen. And then you can ask better questions based upon what they're saying. That's versus just next, you know,
because I'm always saying, what am I going to say next? Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a introvert. I've been sitting here thinking about it, and
I think what defines an introvert. Are you fueled by physical interaction with people?
Like, well, this is what I was going to say.
And going out and stuff like that.
When I'm not around people, I'm happy not being around people.
Yeah.
But the moment I'm around people, I'm happy being around people.
So you're
an ambivert.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, as you know, the day is going on, it doesn't really, it's not like a preference. It's just the setting I'm already in.
Right.
And so it doesn't bother me. Now, if it's like constant engagements with other people, then it probably will eventually get, you know, to where I'm like, I don't want to be around people.
Yeah.
But I kind of look at like my personality now, as opposed to like in high school, introvert. I was quiet, like, was trying to break out of the shell. But now it's like, you guys see it. Like, you get me in front of people where we're talking, like, I'm going to talk. Yeah. One, it's not that I don't like being judged or anything. I just don't want people to get the wrong impression of me. And so engaging it with with other people and having meaningful conversations are some of the things that I just want people to be able to know that, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I don't think I'm an introvert is because I do not listen that well to other people. Yeah. The moment y'all start saying, like, that's what makes a good introvert, and, you know, so well, I was like, oh, no, that's not me. Yeah. Like, I will listen to you, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's a million other thoughts going on as you're talking, because I can't wait to say this.
So you're not an active listener is what you're saying?
No. No. If I'm an active listener, you'll, like, or having an active listening moment, you'll know because I'm quiet. But if you start to see me doing,
yeah,
I'm waiting to break through.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just waiting for you to stop.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes too, that's not 100% an indicator that you're an introvert, because I think it's just as a human, we're selfish. Everybody wants to talk about themselves. I think it is more prevalent in introverts than extroverts, but even sometimes too, all of us, I think, will still try to find ways to talk about ourselves and get your point across, and I got to say something next. Like, oh, I got to say something against that. Mm-hmm. I got to say something. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think it leans more in introverts' favor because people tend to like you more too when you listen, because you just give them an opportunity to talk about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You say an infinite, they don't know anything about you. It's like, oh, I kind of like that person. I need to talk. I need to say anything. Right. You know what I'm saying? And that's a skill that they talk about. There's a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a good sales book, and another book is The Art of Dealing with People. It talks about that concept a lot in those books. When it comes to sales or gaining a following or whatever, listening to other people more, getting people to talk about themselves more around you actually makes people like you more. It's actually counterintuitive of what you think it would be, because a lot of people fish to, well, let me tell you about myself and my accomplishments, yeah, and what I've done and blah, 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 and look at my chest and look at look at my job and look how much money I make. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. So it's like, but if it's the flip side, if you let somebody talk about themselves, you ask them more and more questions, you engage more. That actually ties into confidence too, because, I'd say it could help you with your confidence, because it gets you better at communication. You made mention of, well, I don't want people to feel like I'm not good at communicating or I'm not good at talking.
Right. Yeah.
You know, asking questions is a good way to kind of practice that. That's kind of like your reps for getting better at communication. Just ask more questions.
Yeah,
because you do run out of stuff to say about yourself.
Yeah, I think my problem was and this is why we talk about making sure you're not overconfident. There was a point in my life where I became way overconfident.
Yeah,
and I was overconfident for like maybe 5 or 6 years. Really? Yeah, I just thought I was the stuff. Like, I felt like I could do anything. I felt like
there's pros and cons, you would say. Pros and cons to it.
Right. I mean, there was a point to where my attitude was influenced by it. Like, yes, I was young enough to be in athletic and smart enough to do pretty much anything I wanted to put my mind to, but it was a trap in a sense, because it made it where, like, I didn't listen to people too much.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I didn't ask a lot of questions. I didn't ask a lot of questions because I didn't care about what you had to say.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where I was always trying to seek as much knowledge on something as much as I, you know, could, because that way when I go talk in front of other people, it's like, well, I was the first to learn it. I know all this, blah, 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 right? Yeah. And it became to a point where I was looking, I was like, why do I go so deep in, like, that kind of mindset? Because I was doing it with everything: anime, comics, video games. Like, there was a point, like, I know exactly what it is. I'm a very competitive person. They all know that. Mm-hmm. And I was super competitive in my 20s. Like, if you beat me at something, I'm putting hours in the training room because it's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
And if I feel like you were smarter than me, I'm like, all right, let me go read up on something real quick.
So,
right?
I like that though, because there's still pros and cons to that. And that's funny because you just went into the next topic, which was, can confidence lead to arrogance?
Yeah.
And absolutely can.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also a stage, I feel like, where you can, you hit an arrogant stage, but you can channel it and be like, well, some people do, some people don't.
Yeah, you got to recognize it.
You got to recognize it. Some people get to the point where they become know-it-alls. But if you're actually trying to build confidence for a purpose, you can realize, okay, I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And then that kind of humbles you a little bit.
Yeah.
But you can't ever let it turn into, like, doubting yourself. So I think keeping that component of like what was good about the arrogance, believing in yourself and like, I can do anything, you know, I mean, even the Bible says I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. You got to believe in that, but you don't want to turn it to where you're always trying to one up somebody all the time. But I still don't think that's a bad trait. Is not that as bad as you might think.
Look, I'm not going to make a comment on that. It was bad.
He said, I don't know about that.
It was bad at the time.
Yeah.
I worked on myself a lot. Like, we're talking about, I'm 36 now. We're talking about when I was like 25, right? So I have had a long time to work on those things and improve and recognize, like, self-reflection.
Yeah.
Just from not for myself, but other people, you know, kind of bringing those things to my attention. The other thing, too, was I also had the opposite. So that, like, that's why it's kind of like I thought it was both, because there were a lot of moments in my adult life where I was like super doubtful to where it led to depression, because I really felt at moments I couldn't do anything. And I know somebody's going to go in the comments and be like, how's that even possible? Well, because when you think you've achieved a lot, or what you think you've achieved at the highest level, when somebody else starts to talk to you and kind of tell you about the things they're doing, what their life is like, and then you go, oh, I ain't did nothing. And now you're trying to figure out, well, how do I get to that point?
Yeah.
And at that moment for me, it was like I couldn't figure it out. Yeah. So I was trying things. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm good at that or whatever. And then as time goes by, you get older. You don't have as much time to dedicate. You don't have a lot of energy either. And so I think that's why a lot of people, like, when they get in their mid-30s, they might hit, like, the depression, because they're realizing, what have I done with my life or whatever. And so just be mindful of yourself. Give yourself grace, like Chris was saying, because there are super ends to both of this, right? You got arrogance, and then you got where you're so doubtful that it turns into, like, depression, because you really – it's like paralysis. You're too scared to do anything at that moment outside of what you already do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important, too, to kind of, because there's got to be a balance, right? Like, what's that balance between having confidence and then just being overly arrogant?
Yeah.
I think you just got to be open-minded, right? Because I think even people who have confidence, you have to have an open mind to learn something new about yourself, about somebody else. And I think that keeps you from getting to the point to where you're arrogant, because you're not a know-it-all.
That's a good point.
Because you've got that open mind to where, like, I don't know everything. I might learn something from this individual I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. All I'm sharing is the things that I know, but I might take some value out of him. Like, oh, man, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let me implement what you taught me. So I think if people who are even being confident, if you just still have that open mind to where, like, hey, I can continuously learn. I haven't done everything.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's the balance right there. Just keep an open mind and be an active listener as well. Yeah. Right. Just listen to people. I think that's a really good balance.
Yeah. I definitely agree. You touched on something, Mike, a little bit, or both of y'all actually, about balancing. So what would you say kind of helped you find that balance? I've been in that place too, where it's like you get to a point in your life where you're like, dang, I haven't done anything. But I've also been in a state where I've been arrogant too. I remember at my job, like being top salesman or something, another dude came in and smoked me.
Yeah, he humbled you.
Yeah, exactly. He humbled me. And we had a competition, and I sold about $14,000 in product that month. He did about $28,000. And I was like, okay, I'm not as good as I thought. So I started to reevaluate. To be honest, it got to the point where I was like, why am I even in sales and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what am I missing and different stuff like that? And I just start to re-channel that and be like, you know, okay, well, I just got to focus on what I am good at. I'm not like, because he was an extrovert too, by the way.
Yeah.
And he had been doing it longer than me, which he ended up getting fired, by the way, too, because he had some other stuff going on. But whatever.
Ooh, shade.
That's besides the point. That's besides the point.
Oh.
But, like, how do you find that balance? Because welcome back. So we were talking about that ain't where we was at. Oh, how to balance. how to balance the difference between arrogance. What is happening here?
Yeah, I think it was like balancing
doubt and arrogance.
Doubt and arrogance.
Yeah. When it comes to confidence.
I mean, actually having people around you, I think, helps. Mm-hmm. You also, like you said earlier, Chris, you have to be open-minded.
Yeah.
And I think even to that degree, you still have to have people around you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have people around you, recognize that that's true first before you actually start saying that. And then if you don't, like, go meet people, man. Like, don't be afraid to do that. There's somebody out there that wants to give you game.
Yeah, for sure.
Guarantee. So having somebody, like, okay, so for example, you had asked me earlier, like, how did I find a balance? Not sure if I'm all the way there. I'm probably like 80% with the balance. There's some good days, there's some bad days, but hey, I don't give up. That's the biggest thing. But for me, what helps is a lot of prayer, because when days are bad, that's when I just send my my prayers up.
Yeah.
And then my wife is usually the first one, you know, to be the support. A lot of times people just remind you what you've already done. Because sometimes you just ain't thinking about it. You ain't trying to think about it either.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just don't think those accomplishments or whatever mean anything. But having somebody in your corner or multiple people always, you know, is something that if I don't have that, it's probably even uglier day for sure.
Yeah, that's, you touched on something too, like really. I know for me, when I get stuck in a situation, if I'm getting nervous, I don't think I'm prepared or ready or whatnot, I kind of think about it, go back and think back on the things that I've accomplished to get to that point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man, I did this before. Mm-hmm. I presented here. I did that. I presented this in front of a business leader. You know, so it's like, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that helps me build confidence. I've been doing that a lot lately. I kind of self-reflecting on the things I've done to get to where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And that makes me better. That makes me feel better to continue moving on. You know what I mean? I think that's a really good point. Just kind of self-reflect, think about all the things that you've done up to that point that got you there. And yeah, you'll be good.
Yeah, so imposter syndrome is really from the enemy when you really break it down and think mm-hmm. about it.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's not real. Like you said, you've done it before. You're a professional at it. You've done it for being at my job for 9 years, I get that sometimes. Yeah. And you mentioned a mentor sometimes. I think mentorship is definitely important because they can kind of keep you in track of where you need to be. And, you know, if you're too arrogant, they might level you out and be like, nah, you kind of suck.
Yeah.
I also think one thing I thought about, too, when you were talking about networking in comparison to mentorship and, like you said, finding somebody that wants to give you game.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might have to look outside of your job because I've been in jobs where you try to get mentorship from somebody that's better than you. Like, you try to mirror the person that's better than you. And they don't want to give you game because they don't want you to take the spot. So sometimes networking events or just networking outside of your job is beneficial because that person doesn't care. Mm-hmm. They have no connection to you whatsoever. You're not going to take anything from them.
Man, let me say something, man, because I just thought about this. With all this social media, if you ain't got one person out of all them dang contacts, right. followers, whatever, that can't be no support.
Yeah.
You need to rework some things.
Yeah. Because LinkedIn's a good place to go for that too. Because it's a professional network. Find somebody on social media that you can talk to.
Yeah. Because, like, it is harder when you're trying to look within the internal company. Like, it is crabs in a barrel in most cases. Some are not like that because maybe the company's big enough and they're really just trying to make everyone better. But if you're at a company where they're not trying to make everyone better, they're just trying to keep things like, well, we're proficient, we got sales, we got business, we're doing good. Like, okay, but everyone still has to improve, and they're not seeing that. Then, yeah, you need to look outside, but it ain't always. Somebody about to call me old right now. But remember back in the day, like when we were first getting introduced to the internet, and we had all these blog sites, we had instant messenger, all these different things, man. You make a friend out of nowhere.
Yep.
Like, and people are doing that constantly every day now at a higher clip than we were doing it.
Yeah.
It's like one of them probably got some game for you, guarantee it. Because some people got thousands of followers, thousands of friends on Facebook or whatever on X, like somebody got game for you, man.
Yeah. I would say too, when it could, were you about to say something, Alexis?
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
go for it.
One thing I try to do to balance that is try try to maintain my curiosity. I'm like hyper curious when I meet somebody. Nice. When I think to when I think about myself and my life and how complex it's been, the things I've been through, you know, my successes, my defeats and stuff, and I see other people, they've gone through just as much. They have their own story. That's why I like being a videographer. I like telling stories. Yeah. And you just never know what you'll get out of somebody. Just ask those questions or that right question. Knowledge or a new perspective. You know, because just because I see it one way, I'm speaking specifically from like video products that I put out, doesn't mean that everyone else will see it that way. Right. And that's very, very important, especially if you're trying to accomplish goals for a client. Yeah. So
ask some questions.
Stay curious. Yeah. Ask questions.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
I think what he said was very interesting. This is probably what we can do for the next episode was like curiosity.
Yeah.
Because when the curiosity starts to die, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You ever meet like an adult that's like so stuck in their ways, you can't introduce anything new to them?
Oh, right. Yeah.
At all?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like, it's like talking to a wall almost.
Yeah.
Like they have their like NPCs on video games and they just have their default responses. That's kind of what it feels like. My mom does that a lot. Like, I'll try to talk to her about something new. She'd be like, I don't know, baby. We all gonna die one day. That's just kind of her, like, default. That just means I'm not trying to hear this new information. I know what I know. I'm going out with what I know, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I cannot do that, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a part of, well, not to say your mom's arrogant, but some people have arrogance. Like I said, being a know-it-all is a sign of arrogance for sure, since we're talking about signs of how do you know if you're confident or not. Mm-hmm. I think that's a sign that you're arrogant when you think you know it all and you think can't nobody tell you nothing, you can't learn anything from anybody else. Being humble is knowing that, okay, everybody on this planet knows something that I don't know. Everybody has their own unique life experiences. And just because I'm a master at my thing doesn't mean I can't learn from anything else. So being open-minded and then getting into a stage where you're seeking to find the things that you don't know. You don't know, because again, you don't know what you don't know. So finding like reading more books, seeking out mentorship, whether it's somebody at your job or somebody outside of your job, listen to some audios from maybe professional speakers or people that are influencers even in your field. I know I listen to a lot of sales stuff from different people that speak. And maybe at a different point, I can make a list of different people to listen to if you're in sales. But I think it's important to always find somebody outside of yourself, because sometimes we can get in our own head, think we know it all and stuff like that. And I don't. I feel like when you get into that space, when you become arrogant, there's always a cliff to fall off afterwards. And it's almost like depression always follows the arrogant state. It seemed like it don't happen the other way around. It's like you get overly arrogant and then you get humble.
Like
God sends that to you, and it's like,
oh yeah,
smacks you down, and then you get ultra depressed. So to avoid that, always be learning.
Yeah. Facts.
Always be seeking and asking questions and staying curious and stuff like that. That'll help you out in your career. That'll help you out in your personal development. That'll help you out in any stage in your life. Even, I mean, it'll help you out when you're trying to date somebody too. Ask questions. More questions, and they'll like you more.
Yeah,
you know, they show that, you know, at least from a man's perspective, mm-hmm. Towards a woman, you know, they want to know that you care. So ask them questions.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, the questions is what's part of curiosity, right? Because you're asking the question, and like I said, if you're not asking the questions, you're not curious. Like, one, why is that? Like, why have you reached that point where you're not curious about this thing, this job or whatever? Yeah. Because might mean it's time for a change, mm-hmm. right? Because we all get into something because we're curious, we're passionate. Like, I actually try not to use the word passionate anymore, because sometimes it wasn't just the passion that fueled me to go do something. Sometimes I was just curious. I was like, I wonder if I could do that, right? You know, watching somebody else and learning it, it was like, oh, that was really interesting or something like that. Yeah. And so when it stops to die, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just not interested in it anymore, right? Or maybe it's not what I thought it was. That happens in people's careers all the time,
yeah.
because they get in a career, especially if they got into it right out of college. And they're like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. It's not what it was kind of portrayed to be, yeah. right? And so now they're trying to look for a different career.
Yeah.
But some people are kind of stuck in the phase where they're on the hamster wheel and they don't realize they're on the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Right. But the curiosity has died.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think, you know, recognizing that thing, like you said, asking the questions and everything, like, is very critical, because that's what's going to be your motivation.
Yeah, I think people just get stuck in their comfort zone a lot.
Absolutely.
You talk about that hamster wheel. You know, you're making some decent money. Mm-hmm. You know your area pretty well, and it's like, I'm good. But at some point, everybody reaches that point to where you're like, man, I got to be doing something more. There's something. I'm not being challenged enough here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too content.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, maybe not everybody, but I know I got to that point as being an engineer to where I was pretty proficient at my job.
Right.
And I was like, there's got to be more. Like, what more can I do? Right. And I had a conversation, I think, with our mom about when you get into leadership, you're constantly putting yourself into positions where you're outside your comfort zone, but that's almost the only way you continue to grow. Absolutely. Challenge yourself, get yourself out your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why I went the leadership route, because I knew that would open up a lot of doors for me that, one, I didn't even know if I was prepared for or not, but I went, like you said, I was curious.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what happens if I do go? People keep telling me that I have a nice personality, this and that. What happens if let me go ahead and just sneak through that door a little bit. What's going to happen? Yeah. What opportunities are going to open up?
Exactly.
And the freaking doors just keep opening up, and I feel like I'm not even ready for it. Stuff happens so fast. Yeah. And that sometimes I don't even think I'm ready for,
mm-hmm.
but that's when prayer comes in. Yep. And that's when you just got to continue to be open-minded, mm-hmm. and open to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And just get out that comfort zone, and you're just going to continue to elevate. But if you're stuck in that comfort zone, that status quo, you're going to be in the status quo. Yeah. You ain't going to elevate yourself.
I think what's nice, what you said, is that these doors opened up once you went there. I think which camera am I looking at?
Oh, we're right here in this middle one.
Yeah, we did.
I've been pointing over here.
I didn't notice that either.
Your camera's still recording, but me and Juan no longer have an angle.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I think what's very critical in what you said is that you had doors, not a door. Doors.
Nice.
And when you have doors, you're almost unstoppable at that point, because now you can pick.
Yeah.
And once you pick, you can still go back. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like you at this point, you can make a web. And when you have a linear path, it's not that easy,
right?
You will hit a roadblock.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to say, this is the end of the journey. Time for you to get off.
Yep.
But I think it kind of makes me think about some decisions and get curious about my journey and what my career is, because you're right. Like, when I got into IT, there was multiple doors, because mm-hmm. there's all these different specialties you can do, right? Once I chose the specialty, doors came in.
Yeah, yep.
Some more doors opened up, but it wasn't as many as the ones before it.
Yeah.
And so, you got to keep that curiosity, because what you said is it's blowing my mind right now, because the more doors of opportunities you have, the better situation you're in.
Yeah. That something you brought up too, that, and I'm sure this could probably be a topic of a discussion for a future episode, but is passion. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So... when I think of passion, because I did not go into anything I was passionate in. I actually went into sales because I hated not being confident.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hate salespeople. I used to hate salespeople a lot.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually went into that on purpose, because I didn't like being so doubtful in myself and not believing in myself. But that's a question that we don't have time to go into deep, but it's interesting that maybe we can start into it a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Is, do you follow something, if you're looking for growth and development, or maybe you want to make more money, do you pursue your passions, or do you believe that passion is developed from just overcoming fears and being confident in something? I feel like I personally think that sometimes if you go into your passion, you keep yourself stuck and you can't build your confidence. Sometimes I think you need to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, do things that challenge you, and then from that you develop more passion for something.
Now, when you say passion, do you mean, to me, because it sounds like in your situation, you pretty much tap into a weakness of yours, and you wanted to turn that weakness into a strength, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when you're looking for new roles that want to where you want to elevate yourself, you're looking for something that's like, where you're weak at. Like, for me, for instance, like, when I talk about IT engineering and things like that,
yeah,
I was strong in that. That was a strength of mine. my weakness was being a leader, talking to people, networking, things like that.
So you
like,
thought.
Say what?
So you thought.
So I thought. Yeah. So I went in that direction.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
It actually was.
It was, yeah.
It actually was at one point, right? True. Because he avoided it. If you avoid it, then it's a weakness, right? Because you can't showcase it at that point.
Yeah. So, and that's a really good point. So I went down that road and found out there's still some areas, of course, I need to improve on and work on.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm pretty decent at this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's starting to turn into a strength. Now I got to identify. Now I'm at the point in my career right now where I'm trying to find other areas of weaknesses, especially at the job that I'm at. I'm good on leading this type of people in this area, in this infrastructure, system operations. What am I not good at? I don't know nothing about developers.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and that's a weakness that I need. Okay, how do I lead people in that area?
Yeah.
That's an opportunity area.
Yeah. Just tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I think I say this. Do both. Because when you eliminate one, you have no idea what the other one could have did. And eventually, if you're a curious person, you'll do both anyway. Because one might not go as far as the other one, right? Your passion might only go so far, right? As opposed to you trying to find a strength or just a curiosity on something that you're trying to explore.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like, I think for me, my passion was music. I love rapping. I explored it. I think I was pretty decent at it, but that could only go so far for me. But my curiosity and my weaknesses were, for me, it's funny. Me being in IT, you would think I was growing up like a smart person. No, I did what I needed to do to make the right grades, and that was it.
Yeah.
But my weakness was always thinking I wasn't smart enough to do anything. Right. When I joined the military, because of a numerous amount of things. But I also wanted to prove to myself that I was strong enough to do, the military life, to go overseas, things like that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't perceive myself as a strong person or a tough guy or anything like that. When I came out of it, that kind of opened up the world for me. The doors opened up. That's why I started doing a lot of different things. I had the arrogance coming in because the military was like, at that point, I was like, well, shoot, I did this. What can I not do then? Right? Yeah. So.
Yeah. I guess the conclusion I kind of come up with from what you're saying is sometimes you might not have a passion for something specifically, but you push forward to help build your passions, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you do your passions.
Yeah.
You do the other things too.
Yeah.
Because, when you limit yourself, I mean, that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're limiting yourself. So if you take away the passion, you just do the other stuff, you'll always regret thinking about the passion.
Exactly.
And if you do the passion, you take away everything else, and the passion don't work out, now you're thinking about all the other stuff you could have been doing.
Yeah.
Right? When you're young, you got more time on your hands than you realize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do both.
Yeah.
And even like in your 30s and 40s, you still have time.
Yeah.
Don't get too much in your head about all the other stuff going on in your life. Just try to focus on being healthy and just starting something. That's why we talk about what our next steps are going to be. It's like, you just got to start something, man.
Yeah. I know we're coming up on time here. We're going to, what, about 45 minutes, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. So just to wrap things up, we'll kind of go into the last segment. The question that we usually ask is, what are the things this week that you're going to work on to push you forward in your endeavors and to challenge yourself? And we'll start with Alexis here.
Mostly hiring, I guess you could say, outsourcing things I know I don't have time to do.
Sure.
I am guilty of trying to wear all the hats. Even I'm aware of it, but I just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to get to where I want to go, I have to start delegating and really figuring out what that looks like. Because once I can spread the workload out, I can start growing in other areas, and who knows what doors will open from that.
That's a pretty good one.
Chris?
I think for me, it's really just this week will be important for me to continue to try to build my network, reach out to people. I've been given some names of some potential people to kind of reach out to pick their brains a little bit about my next step, what I need to do, things like that. Just kind of reach out to those people. I mean, that's a whole process in itself. Just trying to just building up the confidence to reach out to somebody, especially if they're a senior leader.
Yeah.
But just building those relationships. Because somebody told me, I talked to a senior leader last week, and what she told me, she was like, people hire who they're comfortable with or who they know.
Oh, yeah.
So she was like, now that you've made this connection with me, if you did apply for a role in my area, I'm like, oh, I know Chris.
Yeah,
give him a shot. Let's see what he's talking about.
For sure.
And so I'm trying to keep that in my head. Like, there's something behind the madness when it comes to networking with people. So yeah, that's this week I'm going to continue to reach out to those names I've been getting to kind of build a relationship with those people. So.
Okay. All right. Mike.
So I think what I'm going to be trying to focus on is being really business savvy and understanding how I can help people in their businesses. So us as a family, one thing that's been on my mind is like, how can I help you with your business? How can I help you with your business? Because if you need the help and I have the time, I'll give it to you. You know, I've been trying to make some cuts in my life to make more time because those things that I'm cutting weren't really being productive or adding any value or benefit to me. So, and as a family, it was something we were talking about. I don't remember when it was, but, you know, we talk about our community and one of the struggles is we let one person come up, but we don't come up together. And the struggle with that is somebody's going to be asking for help, you know. Hey, man, can I borrow this or can I do this or whatever? Or, hey, man, I'm trying to get this up. Well, I'm busy doing this. Like, I eliminate the questions and just be available. And so me and bro had talked, like, as he was saying, he needs help. I'm like, bro, just tap me in, man. Like, I'll make time for you because I got time. There's a reason why I'm trying to do all these different businesses and stuff like that. But I think I kind of got wrapped up in trying to start too many things. And so I've kind of toned down. Well, I accomplished a lot of them. I was like, okay, I'm free now. Who could benefit from me now? So that's what I'm working on.
That's one thing I appreciate about you, though, bro. Honestly, that's a favorite characteristic that I have for you. You didn't ask me to do all kinds of things, and it throws me off every time. I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
Bro, you'd be like, hey, bro, if you need help shooting something, just let me know. I'll come along. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Bro, you need help editing anything, I got you. I'm like, okay. All right, Mike, I see you. Like, that's a really cool thing about you.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Yeah, good stuff. I guess for me, one thing I'm working on is maximizing what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I've come up with that flow chart so we can start really looking at what we're doing, how we can help the community that we're building, and how we can start making a difference, deliver the most value possible. There's a lot of tasks that are going to start coming out. How can we start working together to grow this thing together?
Yeah.
So really trying to narrow that down, looking at this from a business perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I'm really looking at taking an eagle eye view at everything that we're doing and honing in on, okay, how do we grow this thing? How do we deliver value? What are we, you know, what's our mission statement? Different things like that. So really just narrowing in on that. Still got my side projects and stuff like that, but this is really standing out to me, and it's starting to become fun because I mean, you know, I've been shooting my own individual little things that we're going to upload as well, but I really want to see what kind of value I can give to other people.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten to a point where it's like, okay, not that I can't go further in sales, but I kind of don't care to in the sense of a job role.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to see what can I make out of this and what can we do to help other people.
Yeah.
Help people in our community, black people, white people, whatever. It don't matter to me.
Absolutely.
How can we deliver more value? So that's kind of what I'm focused on this week. So I guess that's the end of the episode here to wrap things up. Wherever you're watching for, like, share, subscribe. And that's it. Y'all take care.
Tune in.